What a joy to be in this atmosphere of worship this morning. And Jesus, we magnify your name. We thank you for the blood that you shed at Calvary for our sin. You're the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And through what you have done for us, through your death and your resurrection, we can stand here today and sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we just praise you, Jesus, for being our Savior. We love you and we adore you. We magnify your name. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. We praise you today. Lord, we thank you that you have told us in your word to cast all our cares on you because you care for us. And Lord, in front of me is a wonderful group of people, congregation, and I just pray, God, would you meet the needs of their hearts. Even right now, as we cast our cares on you, we're just asking you for fresh grace today. And I pray, would you provide for the needs of your people, meet whatever their needs are, whether they be physical needs or financial or spiritual. I pray, would you provide for your people. And Lord, we just give ourselves to you all over again this morning. Lord, we just would pray especially for David and Davy and Kay this morning as they're traveling to be at a funeral. As Kay's sister-in-law passed away, we just lift them to you and we just pray, would you sustain them and give them grace as they travel and comfort to their family, Lord. Lord, we also just would bring to you Sister Kratz, and we thank you for how you've been helping her. We just pray, would you continue to minister healing and help to her, Lord. We also just bring to you Sister Crook, and we just pray, would you minister to her as well today over in Piedmont Crossing, and we just pray, would you be especially close to her. Lord, we also just want to remember our college students, and I see several of our college students that are here today, just still on holidays, and I just pray, would you give them traveling mercies as they head back to their various places of education, and Lord, would you continue to lead their lives and help them to continue to put you first in their lives, but bless our college students, I pray, and minister to them. Lord, we also just bring our pastor to you. We pray for Pastor Heath. And we just pray today as he's away and as he's at some time where he can be alone with you, I just pray, would you continue to lead him and direct him as he's the man that you have raised up to lead our church. And so, Lord, I just pray, would you continue to anoint him? But Lord, even this weekend, I pray, would you give him fresh vision and renew him and just give him strength? And I just pray, would you protect him from any kind of attack that the enemy would want to bring his way? Because we know that there's spiritual warfare that goes on. And we just pray for our pastor today, and I pray, would you give him grace and help and minister to him? But Lord, as a church family, I just pray, would you use us for your glory and your honor? Use us to build your kingdom. We give ourselves to you, Jesus. We belong to you. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
A couple of quick announcements I'd like to make mention of this morning. We do have revival coming up, and that's just a time where we pause collectively and renew and refresh. And Dr. Keaton will be here to share with us January 12th through 14th. So that's exciting. And he's actually going to even be with us January 11th. And on the day before the revival starts, that Saturday, revival for us will be Sunday through Wednesday or Tuesday. But that Saturday, we're going to have a special time up in the dining hall. If you're a parent and you've ever had questions, maybe you don't have questions now, but you'd like to come join us. I'm gonna come. I have some questions for Dr. Keaton, and my wife and I had a privilege of taking him and his wife out a couple months back when he was filling in. I forget, maybe 6 months ago, and they're just a wonderful couple, and I mean, you can't get better people to just hang out with for an evening. So come hang out with us in the dining hall, January the 11th. At 7 p.m., there's info in there, babysitting, all that. Just check out the bulletin for more details on that. And then also the Collingsworth concert, that's coming up. That's that Wednesday. We had to adjust some things there, but that'll be on the Wednesday, the 15th, I believe, of January. And then one more thing, the adult dinner outing is going to be at the Mazatlan Family Mexican Restaurant. And if you're 18 or older and you like to be a part of that and go out for some supper, some good food, some fellowship, if you could, Brother Cox has asked me, if you could sign up today sometime before the evening, before you leave after service tonight, if you could just sign up, that way they have a head count and all that, that would be great. And then one more thing, Kids Club is starting tonight and I'm excited. How many of you have already gotten maybe you walk through there, or I don't know, but you've already gotten a sneak peek as to what's back there. A few of you have, and if you haven't, I encourage you, don't go in there. Just stay out until tonight. It's the opening night, you know, stay out. Kids, don't go in there just yet. You'll get to have some fun tonight, but go check it out. It's going to be an exciting. I heard Olaf is, how many of you have heard of Olaf? He's the big snowman. He's a lot of fun. And anyway, he's going to be there, so you don't want to miss that. A fun, a wintry theme. It's called Unfrozen. So I don't know what they're going to be unfreezing, but hopefully, I don't know. Anyway, so make sure, kids, you're aware of that. And if you have friends in the community you want to invite, feel free. Bring them on. We'd love to have them. At this time, we're going to have the ushers. If you guys would come and bring, we'll take the morning offering. And if you're new here, we say a special welcome to you. We're glad you joined us this morning. And if you're new, we just ask you'd fill out this little contact card. And I just give it to me after the service. We want to stay in touch with you and encourage you. So, gentlemen, go ahead and take the offering this morning. Thank you for your giving this morning. Thank you for your giving this morning and that offertory. And I actually wanted to additionally mention a special thank you to the pastor's bonus this year, the giving that happened. Thank you from our family. I know we mentioned something in the bulletin and they may have said something last week, but I just want to say thank you. That was greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. At this time, I believe we have a special by Miss Janet and Miss Kayla. So let's continue in worship as they come.
Thank you. much sand is on the shore, he sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas, he's in control of everything, all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move. Don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I would fail him, but he took the loss. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, but I know
the Lord. Yes.
That's what keeps me going.
Yes. Yes.
That's what satisfies the deep inner longing.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading last night there about Job Stoppel. Look down through the history of Israel, Judah. Things wasn't going too well, really. Last king before him, but really. The Lord was his time. At any rate, the kings thereafter, very corrupt, very wicked. Many of the idols and things they had was all over, even in the temple there. And Josiah, he got reigned at just 8 years of age. At any rate, that year, the king. He set his heart.
Yes. Yes.
And brother, I really believe he did, because he went about cleaning up, cleaning houses. He started getting rid of them, he tried to clean out the temple, take these things out, took them out, burned them, cleansed. Oh, he went around all about everywhere his eyes and set upon, he seen the wickedness and the corruption,
mm-hmm.
how they had so many idols and things to the sun.
son and so many things there. Mm-hmm. Even went down to Samaria and cleaned up there. Mm-hmm. Got rid of that place. Oh, that America would waken from their deep sleep.
Yeah.
And would set their hearts to the Lord.
Yes, yes.
You know, it said before there was not in a king that went about to set his heart to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. Nor after. Mm-hmm. You know, that's some prophecy. Look at in the Word of God. There are 2 Kings. There toward the very end of the book.
Mm-hmm.
All that we might set our hearts
amen.
To worship
Him. Amen.
In
amen.
The year of 2000.
Amen.
Because I've never thought we'd ever see that. Mm-hmm. I never dreamed that we'd still be on this earth at this time. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought. I remember when 2000 come about, and all of them were such fear and whatever about Y2K, I think. Got the letter in it. But at any rate, our God's still in control.
Amen. That's we right.
We can trust Him.
That's right.
To think of the songs and the words, when we draw close to God, He gives us
confidence. Amen.
He gives us peace. Whether the problems come or whatever, we can have that deep inner
that's right. That's
and
right.
We trust Him. We know He holds our feet.
Yes, He does.
Folks, I'm just encouraging Him.
Amen.
I thank Him for what He done, the victories He gave in 2019. I'm looking for His help also in 2020.
Yes.
As long as He wants me to live on this earth.
Yes.
I appreciate Him.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Bless His name. I'm thankful for the truth, what these ladies just sang too. He knows my name. That was beautiful, Janet and Kayla. And we've got so many talented musicians here. We're blessed, but I'm glad for the truth of that song. He knows right where you're at this morning, and He cares. It'd be one thing if He just knew where you're at and didn't care, but He knows where you're at, and He cares. And He has grace to help you. His grace is sufficient for whatever you're facing. And I'm glad for that. We're going to talk about that grace today. And how do we, anybody here, would you say, I'd like to get all the grace I can. Whatever grace God has for me, I want it. Anybody like that? I want the grace of God. I need His help in my life. We're going to talk about how to get it. All right. And so if you would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. That's where we're going to be looking at this morning. It's good to see my friends at Godfrey's here today. We're glad that you guys are with us and grateful. They're friends of ours. Acts chapter 2. And let's start reading at verse 37, just to kind of give a little context of what's going on. Acts 2 and verse 37, it says this, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" So if you read the verses before this, Peter has just preached a message and there's a whole lot of people listening. And in verse 38, Peter responds to the people. He says to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins," or for the forgiveness of sins, "and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children," and I like this part because it includes us, "and to all who are afar off." That's you and I, by the way. We were afar off when Peter was speaking these words. But the promise is for us. "And as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now that is a revival right there. 3,000 souls were added to them. And then we come to Acts 2:42, and this is the verse that we're going to be examining today. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What's happening here in Acts chapter 2 is really, you're seeing the beginning of the church. Pentecost took place at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit descended on the believers in the upper room. And really, it's the birthday of the church, really, is how we look at that, was Pentecost. And so the church now is just taking off. It's just starting. And Jesus had just ascended. He left his apostles behind, and you remember that they had waited for him in the upper room and waited for the promise of the Spirit, and that had been fulfilled. And then we just read kind of the tail end of Peter's message. He just preached a gospel message, and about 3,000 people were saved that day. God was moving on the hearts of people. And the Christian church was gaining momentum. The gospel was beginning to get into the hearts of people through the power of the Spirit. But in verse 42, we find what I believe is the key to the continued success of the church. In Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayer. It was the key to the strength, to the growth of the early church. Anybody here needing some strength from the Lord today? I already asked you if you wanted more of God's grace. Grace isn't just what we need to be saved. We need the grace of God every single day. Every day. There are too many things out there left to our own, we're just human. We need the power of God at work in our lives every day to help us to live for Him and to help us through life. We need His grace. And so, how do we get God's grace? How do we receive His grace? So maybe we should ask the question, what is grace in the first place? And so grace would be the outpouring of God's love and mercy to undeserving people. If you deserve something, it's not grace. Grace is when you don't deserve it and it's given to you anyway. And do we deserve God's love and mercy? No. What do we really deserve? The wages of sin is death. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we get what we deserve, this sounds really mean and maybe harsh, but if we really got what we deserve, we deserve to go to hell is what we deserve. But God, who is rich in mercy, He made a way of salvation through His Son Jesus, that all who will put their faith in the Lord Jesus to be their Lord and Savior can be saved. This is grace at work. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve God's love, but He gives it anyway because He's gracious. And so it's this love and mercy that's outpouring to undeserving people, and it gives us the power and the desire to do God's will. That's, in a nutshell, that's what grace is, all right? And I want that in my life. And I believe Acts 2:42, it provides us the keys for the continued success of the church, but it also provides us the practical channels that God provides His grace through. Sometimes, has anybody ever heard this terminology before? The means of grace. Anybody ever heard that before? The means of grace. The first time I heard that, I didn't have a clue what was being talked about. It just sounded like more religious talk to me. You know, the means, it sounded good. I wasn't against it. I was for it, but I didn't know what it meant. Until I finally kind of, when I began to get a picture of what the means of grace is. Let me explain it this way. I was thinking it'd be cool if we had a train station right out here to where we could get people to church from. Maybe it wouldn't be neat if we had a passenger train that ran from Salisbury to here and maybe from Greensboro, High Point area, and would just come, you know, right to our doorstep, right out here. Wouldn't it be cool if we had our own I love trains. Part of why I like Thomasville, it's a train town, you know. But there's a big problem. In order for us to have a train come here, What are we lacking? Tracks. We need some rails. As muddy as it is out here, that train would get bogged down in just in a heartbeat without any rails. And it doesn't do so well on pavement either. The means by which we could get a train here, and we got some railroad tracks just over here. I mean, they run across Cunningham Road and down Denton Road and all that. The means, though, to get a train here, we would have to have some rails in order to get that locomotive and those passenger cars here, right? The means to getting the train here is the rails, right? So if you think of it this way, maybe in a perfect analogy, but it was the best I could come up with. If God's grace is that train, and we've got to get that train, we want the train, we need the means to get it here. And in Acts 2:42, we get the means, we get the channels, the rails, if you will, and how God has chosen to deliver grace through. All right. Now I know he gives grace to people who don't do a thing. You know, so this maybe isn't a perfect analogy, but there, if you want more of God's grace, he has provided some rails, if you will, some means to get it to you. And we're going to look at those real fast. The first one is this: they continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine is the first thing. Doctrine. The doctrine referred to here is the word of God, the scriptures. Peter was preaching from the Old Testament. If you look at his sermon in Acts 2, you find that he quotes from the scriptures, from the Old Testament. And what they were doing, what these apostles were doing, is they were revealing Jesus from the Old Testament. Did you know you can find Jesus all through the pages of the Old Testament? He's not just in the New Testament. He was prophesied many years before he came to this earth and was born in Bethlehem and crucified on the cross. And so Peter was trying to open people's eyes to the fact that the Messiah who had been predicted in the Old Testament had come, and it was Jesus. And so he was preaching the gospel using the scriptures. And in the process, by the way, at that time, the Holy Spirit was also inspiring certain apostles to write the New Testament, and where we get the 27 books of the New Testament. But they were spending time in the Word. They were reading it. They were memorizing it. They were learning it. They were internalizing it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. You can flip there if you like to, but these verses maybe would be familiar. 2 Timothy 3 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." It's inspired, the scriptures are, is what Paul says. And in this inspiration, it's God-breathed. This book is God-breathed. You want to hear what God's voice sounds like? You can read it. We have it so readily available. You can get apps on your phone that have the Bible and have reading plans and all kinds of great. The voice of God is at our fingertips if we just pay attention to it, right? And it's God-breathed. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3 says, "Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." We need the word of God. Now, it's profitable for doctrine, Paul said, that shows you the path that you're supposed to take, shows you the path to walk on. It's profitable for reproof. That means it tells you when you get off of the path. It's profitable for correction, which that shows you how to get back on the path. That's the correction part. And instruction in righteousness, it shows you how to stay on the path. And the reason, Paul says to Timothy, is so that you can be mature. Perfect is the word in the New King James, but for the, you can be mature. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. I would encourage you to read it. If you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, you remember that he was led by the Spirit out in the wilderness, and for 40 days he was out there and fasting, and it was then that the devil came and began to talk to Jesus and was tempting him to do some things. And do you remember how Jesus responded every single time temptation came his way? Scripture. every single time. The Word of God will change your life. It is a means of grace. If your mind is in need of renewal, God's Word is the answer. It's the medicine for you, all right? It's the rails to which you can receive the grace of God. Read this book. It's a means of grace. The second thing that they did, though, in Acts 2:42, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. And number two was, and in fellowship. Fellowship with other Christian believers, believe it or not, is a means of grace. Now, we all probably have some stories where we could tell where being around some other church people was not a means of grace. Can I get any witnesses out there? You know, perhaps we're all kind of nervous. You know, there are those moments, all right? But fellowship with Christian believers is a means of grace for the most part, all right? And if it hasn't been, you're just not around the right group of people. But we need each other, all right? The body of Christ is important. We're on the same team. When I look around here, I'm not looking around to see who's on, you know, eyeing everybody up to see who's where on the hierarchy of whatever. We're all on the same team. We're equals. We're pulling together, right? We're fellow believers, part of the body of Christ. We bear one another's burdens. We pray for one another. We pray together when there's a need. We encourage one another through kind words, through how God is helping you and what he's done for you. We try to lift one another up, right? And help each other on the journey. We need each other. I'll just tell you this. There's been some points in my life where I've gone through hard times, where I've gone through grief, pain, whatever things life throws your way. And what I've observed is one of the temptations is to pull away from the church and pull away from the body of Christ. And it's like the devil wants to say, look, you know, you got things going on, you're hurt, you don't want to be around all these people who've got it all together, you know. So just maybe back away from the church. I just want to tell you it's the worst thing you can do. And by the way, the Bible describes Satan like a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. And you know what I've noticed about lions, what they like to do, if you've ever watched any kind of National Geographic videos or whatever that follow a pride of lions around. You know what they like to do when they're hunting? Anybody you like lions? Lions, they don't go for the strongest and that, you know, that wildebeest who's right in the middle of the pack and really strong. And you know who the lions go after? That one who gets away from the pack. That one who's isolated, who's off by themselves and maybe a little weak and hurting. And that's when the lion pounces on, right? You know something? The devil will do the same thing to us. He wants to isolate us from the body of Christ, so that he can continue to discourage and to deceive. He gets, and I'm just telling you, it's a tactic of the devil to try to get us away from the fellowship of Christian believers, all right? And so you don't want to fall for that. We need the means of grace. We want God's grace. And so here's another one of the rails that God's grace comes through, and that is Christian fellowship through the church, through the body of Christ. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching he's talking about is that Jesus is coming again. And by the way, I guess you could say this is maybe not very, maybe I should say this is a no-brainer, but we're closer today to the coming of Jesus than we were yesterday, right? He could come at any moment. And so much the more as you see the day approaching and we see things happening in our world that sure seem to be setting the table for him to return, okay? And so much the more, the writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because we need each other, and this is a means of grace. I'm not against online church. I think it's great that we can webcast and, you know, we can live stream services and all those things. But has anybody ever, don't raise your hand on this, you don't want to do, but has anybody ever been tempted just to say, you know what, they've got these really good churches online, I could just stay home on Sunday morning, and maybe I shouldn't put these thoughts in your head, but I could just stay home Sunday morning, and I could, in my bed with my laptop, have church, you know? And if I need to go to the bathroom, I just push pause, and, you know, if I need a snack, I just push pause, and then I'll come back to it, you know, whatever. Doesn't that sound like the life, you know? And Sunday morning, I don't even have to get out of my pajamas, you know? And I could just stay home and enjoy a good sermon, and enjoy, you know, and just, I wouldn't have to leave the comforts of home. Doesn't that sound appealing? Yeah, so yeah, okay, I shouldn't put any of those thoughts in your head. Well, let me get to this part. As much, and listen, if you're home and you're sick and you're not able to get it out, this is where live streaming church is awesome. And I'm all for it. In fact, even during the week, you can look at sermons that can be amazing. But don't substitute that for the one thing you don't get is fellowship with believers. There's something important about getting to church and talking with people, and the conversations that happen after church are important. The work day yesterday that we had was important because we're fellowshipping with each other. The church dinners are important because we're fellowshipping with one another. The small groups are important because we're fellowshipping with one another. The list could go on. We need each other. God pours out grace to you in the process of fellowshipping with other believers. Let me read this to you real fast. I read this letter that a churchgoer wrote to an editor of a newspaper, and he was complaining that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. And so this is what this man wrote to the editor. He said, "I've gone to church for 30 years now, and in that time, I have heard something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and the pastors are wasting their time by giving sermons at all." Now, that little letter sparked a whole bunch of controversy, as you might imagine, much to the glee of the editor, because he had people who were interested in reading his column now, and so this dialogue went back and forth for several weeks until somebody wrote this clincher, and here's what one person's response was: "I've been married for 30 years now, and in that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals, but for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this, they all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. And likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today." Now, I'm 37 years old. I'm approaching the middle mark, but I've been around for a little while, and I've seen people who have separated themselves from the fellowship of the body of Christ, and I've watched as that impacted their spiritual life. We need each other. It's all the fellowship of believers is important. So I'd encourage you, come to church. Participate, join in the activities that go on as much as you're able to, because we need each other. And listen, you might not believe me today, but if you get involved and participate, I'm telling you, it will be some rails that God will give his grace through, a means of grace, fellowship with one another. The third thing, notice it goes on, it says, "and in the breaking of bread." Now, I don't believe he's talking about potluck dinners here, church pitchins here, the breaking of bread, not snacks after service or something like that. But what I believe he's referring to here is actually the Lord's Supper, communion. The Lord's Supper is food for the journey as you walk with God. It's a time where we remember what Christ did for us on Calvary, but it's so much more than that. It's a channel that God extends grace through. As we partake of the symbols of the Savior's body and the blood, God feeds us with spiritual food, renewing and strengthening us in our walk with God. Now, John Wesley, he wrote this. He said, "Let everyone, therefore, who has either any desire to please God or any love of his own soul, obey God and consult the good of his own soul by communicating," and what he's talking about is communion, "communicating every time he can." Now, I'll say this, in our tradition of churches, in our circle of churches, this is one that maybe doesn't get emphasized a whole bunch. Communion tends to be like, well, that's what the more ritual churches do, you know, all the time. But one of my professors in college, I remember him talking about this, and he said, "Guys, you don't want to take communion every Sunday because it just gets boring and you start to, you know, it becomes ritual." He's like, "Well, how about kissing your wife? Does that get boring and ritualistic?" You know, and I'm like, I never thought of it in those terms before. He's like, this is how Jesus told us to remember him. "This do in remembrance of me." And anytime we take communion, it's not just some ritualistic, stodgy, solemn sort of a, this is how Jesus told us to remember him. Personally, I think as a church, we've put all these rules and all these things around communion to where people are almost afraid of it. Maybe some of you are afraid of it. I used to kind of be afraid of it as like, you know what? It's just this fearful thing, and I think it's a shame that it's that way. And also, maybe some of you would disagree with me on this point, but I think we have it in mind that only pastors can serve communion, and only, you know, you have to have some position in the church for you to be able to serve communion, and we have kind of these rules set up in our head that's just for them to be able. I'm throw these away for a second. Sorry, Loyal. He's back there trying to interpret, and I'm all over the place. But if I read my Bible right, and I think I am, the Bible refers to believers in Christ as priests, part of a royal priesthood. Do you ever think of yourself that way, followers of Jesus? You think you're part of a royal priesthood. Did you know that? That's how I'm a priest? Well, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that's how the Bible terms it. Don't you think that priests have the right to be able to serve communion? I'm just saying. So what I'm getting at here, now I know I'm a pastor, but I've actually served communion in my own home. Maybe that sounds weird. But Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." I kind of feel like, you know, it's okay to do that in my own home. And I feel like you don't even have to be a pastor to serve communion to your family. You can really freak people out. You have people over and have communion for some, you know. But I'm not trying to be all weird and crazy. But I'm just saying, you know, there may be some special events during the year that with your family, that maybe some men in the church here as spiritual leaders in your home, you want to impress on your children the fact that the body of Jesus that was broken for you, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. You want your children to know that? "This do in remembrance of me," Jesus said. Take the bread and break it, and just, it doesn't have to be a long, but we remember. And the grape juice that we drink. Actually, I have one pastor friend who, he was serving communion one Sunday, and he had some help that was preparing the juice and the bread, and they had done it several days before that in that week. And he got there Sunday morning, and he realized, I don't know how he found out, but the grape juice had all been fermented by Sunday morning. And, I mean, this is like a few minutes before church is to start, and there's not much time, and he's like, "Well, do we have any juice?" He's right in his refrigerator. "What do we have?" He's talking to his wife, "What do we have?" And anything. And they didn't have any grape juice, so does anybody know what Big Red is? You heard of Big Red? It's that red soda, you know, And so he just quit. He didn't know what to do. He needed something. And so, and I think the conference president was visiting that day as well, which is, anyway, my friend's a little crazy. But he put big red in all the communion cups and covered it all up, and they had communion. You can just imagine the look on people's face after he said, you know, let's drink together, and their eyes get about that big as they had big red. But so anyhow, I don't necessarily recommend that, but I will say this: we can make a big deal about what, you know, does the bread have to be unleavened, or is it okay to have leavened bread? There's a lot of things. You know, you read a little bit of church history, and you find out that there were the believers who were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus, and they'd be hiding in caves, and they took this seriously, this do this in remembrance of me, and they would actually take dust of the earth. They didn't have any bread. They didn't have any food to eat, and in the caves, as they would remember the sacrifice that Jesus made, they would eat the dust of the earth. That was their bread. But they were trying to remember Christ, and they would drink water because they didn't have any wine or juice or anything like of the sort. And so they would just water, but they remembered Christ in the way that he told them to. And I'll just tell you, it is a means of grace when we do that. When you remember the body and the blood of Jesus that was broken and was shed for you, it helps you keep the right focus as to what really matters in life. It's also, communion's a time where we're forced to think about the state of our own soul. And there's opportunity to find forgiveness and to repent if there's sin in the heart. God searches our heart in those moments. It's a time where we remember, though, what Christ did on our behalf. And it is a means of grace. And by the way, next month we'll be celebrating communion here as a church. And I'll just throw this out there. You can make a mental note of this. On Good Friday this year, we're going to open the church doors from 6 to 9 p.m. this next Good Friday, and we will serve communion to anybody who comes. It's not going to be like a formal church service. Just you can come in. We'll have music playing. If you want to sit in the pew for a little while and read through some of the Passion Week, or if you want to do a little bit of praying, soul searching in the pew, or maybe you just want to come right. But whenever you're ready, we'll have the sacrament up here ready, and we would be honored to serve you communion on Good Friday as we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. So this Good Friday, you might just make a mental note of that. You want a little bit of grace? Come join in a communion, all right? The last thing, and I don't get to preach as much as I used to. I get long-winded it's been a while. The last thing is they continued in prayers. So we have doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the last thing mentioned here is prayer. Prayer has been heralded by many as the chief means of grace. This is like at the pinnacle. You need the grace of God. Prayer is right at the top of the list in being able to partake of God's grace. This is the channel that is used for communication with Almighty God. Think of that. I got an email earlier this week that it was actually a campaign. They were trying to get money for a campaign. And I'm not going to get political here. Don't get worried. But I did get an email that said, if you make a donation to the campaign of our president, you will be entered into a drawing that you can go and meet the president face-to-face in West Palm Beach. I think there was a lunch included. You get your picture with the president and you get... I mean, for just a second, I mean, whether you like the president or not, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to talk with the president of the United States of America? Anybody with me on that? I mean, whoever the president is, to be able to talk and maybe bend his ear a little bit on some of the concerns that you have as a citizen of this great country. And I just, for a second, I was almost sucked into, but I realized the sensible part of me took over and was like, you'll never win. It's a drawing. There's going to be hundreds, thousands, millions of people in that. But at any rate, just that idea that I could talk with the president. Wow. And yet there's someone far better than any president or any world leader that we have access to day or night, whether in your car or at home or at work. Think of this. Far greater than any president, you have access to talking with Almighty God. You want to talk about a means of grace. It's the way we keep communion with God. It's the primary way that we draw closer to God, and the way we depend on Him is we pray. Neglect of prayer results in spiritual dryness and decay. Now, we know the value of prayer and all of its benefits, and yet for some reason we seem to struggle with this aspect of life and devotions and that sort of a thing. And more likely, the foundational problem for many struggling Christians is really a lack of prayer. They're not really depending on God. If you're not praying, you're not depending on God. When we stop praying, we stop fighting spiritual warfare. If you are not entering into spiritual warfare daily, the devil is fighting harder than you are. Now, by spiritual warfare, I'm not talking about getting into a big battle with the devil and yelling at the devil. I don't talk to the devil. I talk to Jesus, all right? I let Jesus talk to the devil. But I will, in just a couple sentences, you can do spiritual warfare and just pray, you know, God, I pray that you would protect my family from any attack that the enemy would try to bring our way today. Protect us, shield us with the blood of Jesus. You know, in just a simple sentence, you can enter into a little bit of spiritual warfare and do battle and depend on Jesus. Jesus is our hope. And you can go to Him in prayer anytime. Prayer keeps the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest of saints on their knees. But we have instant communication with heaven. All the resources of God are available to you if you pray. Think about that. Prayer is the lifeblood of a Christian. And so if you want the grace of God, talk to Him. Ask Him for His grace. Tell Him the needs and the cares that are going on, and offer Him your worship. Worship isn't just for Sunday mornings, my friends. You can worship Him all week long. Let me just close by saying, God is not limited to extending His grace only through these four ways, all right? But I believe these are some primary ways. These are maybe the most common ways that He works in our lives. And so read the Word. You want grace in 2020? Read the Word. Fellowship with believers. Come to church. Get involved. Partake in the Lord's Supper. And pray, 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 pray. We need God's grace working in our lives. And this morning, if you're maybe feeling like you need a fresh start, maybe you're feeling a little bit dry spiritually, maybe somebody here even feels like just throwing in the towel and quitting, you need grace. So why not attend to the means of grace? These rails are ready for the grace of God to ride right on and right to you. All right? Why not attend to the means of grace? And I can assure you that, as 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, His grace is sufficient for you, no matter what you're facing. And some of you are facing some hard things. But I want you to know God's grace is sufficient for you. And James chapter 4 says, He giveth more grace. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to who? To the humble. And James goes on, he says, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. His grace is available to you. His grace is sufficient for you. I would encourage you, I would urge you, beseech you, whatever, in strong terms, to attend to the means of grace today and tomorrow. For the rest of this year, for the rest of this decade, we need God's grace, and it's available to us if you'll attend to the means of grace. Will you stand with me? I really believe this was the key to the success of the early church, and I believe this will be the key to the success of our church, the means of grace. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord Jesus, we honor You today. We thank You for being our Savior. And Jesus, we thank You for Your grace. I thank You that You love every single one of us. and you care about us. And Lord, I just pray, would you help us not to get so distracted with all the things that are happening in life to where we don't take time for you. But Lord, help us to make time for the means of grace in our life. And Lord, I pray, would you give us, at the start of this year, give us a fresh zeal to read your word. Give us a renewed desire to be in church and to worship you and to fellowship with other believers. Lord, as we participate in communion over this next year, Lord, may that be a means of grace. And Lord, would you help us to daily be in prayer and in fellowship with you. But God, I just pray, would you keep us by your grace. And this year, may we seek you more than we have ever sought you in all of our lives. And may our love for you grow and increase. Would you just help every person here today, Lord, put a desire in all of our hearts to draw nearer to yourself. And we'll give you thanks for what you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. And everybody said, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Be kids club tonight at 6 and service here. And then Wednesday night, there'll be regular service as well here in the sanctuary. You're dismissed.